past three chapters in Daniel form Daniel's final vision. In chapter 10, there was preparation. Daniel had that vision of Christ, and there were some heavy things the Lord had been showing him, and he was very burdened. And the Lord sent the angel Gabriel to comfort him and to help him understand the things that he was going to show him. In chapter 11 was the revelation itself. The whole chapter is just detailed prophecy. And most commentators, including premillennial dispensational commentators, put most of the chapter in the past. It would have been prophecy from Daniel's standpoint, but they say it was fulfilled before the birth of Christ. And they make it all about Antiochus Epiphanes, a Greek king. I think he reigned, 175 to 165, somewhere in there, B.C. But remember what the angel told Daniel in Daniel 10:14. The angel said, "Now I'm come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days." And you study last days, latter days, these expressions used concerning Israel in the program. It's obviously talking about the 70th week, the last 7 years. And so we showed you that really the bulk of the chapter deals with the latter days, just like the angel said. Okay. We let the Bible interpret itself. And it's not our place to interpret the Bible. It's our place to believe it and to study it God's way. And the Bible interprets itself if you just study it in context and pay attention to what you're reading. And so now we come to chapter 12, and that's the conclusion of the last great vision and of the whole book of Daniel. Let's begin in verse 1. Daniel 12, verse 1. "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book." Now that time is the last half of the 70th week. That's what we've been looking at leading up to this, especially beginning in verse 31 of chapter 11 on down to the end. Okay? Because in verse 31 we have that abomination of desolation. We know that happens in the midst of the week. It divides the week in half. As you can see, a simple chart on the board, the first half of the 7 years, he's the man of sin. In the midst, Satan's cast out and his angels, there's a death, burial, and resurrection of the man of sin. He becomes the son of perdition, filled with Satan. That's the great tribulation of the last 3.5 years. And in the Bible, you'll see it's 1,260 days, 1,260 days. That's 7 years. And it's 30 days in a month for the Hebrews. Okay, 360 days in a year. 1,260 days, 42 months, 3.5 years. You see this time and again in prophecy. At the end of that, of course, is the second coming of Christ to the earth to establish His kingdom. And so he's saying this last 3.5 years is going to be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Of course, keep a marker in Daniel 12, but go back to Jeremiah 30. And there's so many verses we can look at. Let me give you a couple cross-references. Jeremiah 30. There is no Daniel 30. Verse 4. "And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness." I'm talking about the pain and the sorrow and the suffering of that great tribulation. Now, I tell you what, think about this. The ladies talk about, going into labor and how hard that is and how tough that is. And I'm glad I don't know. But I know this, if the Bible compares it to the Great Tribulation, it must be pretty tough. Right? And it says, alas, verse 7, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. The day of the Lord is technically the second coming, but it includes what immediately precedes it and what follows it. That's why the whole kingdom age is the day of the Lord. And that's why there's prophecies that talk about the day of the Lord as being darkness and judgment, and then others that talk about it being light and blessing. It's because it's not a 24-hour period. When we say the day of the Lord, it's a prophetic day. And it includes the tribulation, the second coming, the millennial reign, and even the renovation of heavens and earth with fire after the millennial reign. But you see how bad this is going to be. And it's the time of the church's trouble. No, it's not. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. It's not about us. God is bringing them through this for a purpose. It's what He determined upon them. There was 70 weeks of years determined upon Israel. This last week, this last 7 years is about them. It's not about us. We won't be here for any of it because we're going to be caught up, as you see on the chart. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air before this ever starts. And I do think there might be some gap in there between the end of the between the rapture of the body of Christ and the beginning of the 70th week. And like I've said many times, what marks the beginning of the 70th week is the covenant Israel makes with Antichrist, not the rapture, okay? So, look at Matthew 24, and I'm sure you know what Christ said when He was talking about the tribulation. He outlines all 7 years in Matthew 24. And He said in verse 21, "For then shall be great tribulation." Matthew 24:21. And this is after He mentions the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet in verse 15. That marks the beginning of this. "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened..." I mean, if it was any longer than 3.5 years, He says, "there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake," that'd be Israel, "those days shall be shortened." So, again, a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. There's a lot of tribulation to go through in this life, but this world hadn't seen nothing yet. Okay? You think about the scale of Noah's flood and the great judgment that came. Christ says it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. We're talking about major judgment. And the judgment is not just in the Middle East. Some people want to confine prophecy of the tribulation, all that, to be just kind of in the Middle East. But it's a worldwide deal. The Antichrist is going to have a worldwide kingdom. And when Christ comes, He's going to have a worldwide kingdom. Okay? So, Michael, he's that great prince. He's the archangel. He's over other angels. He has great authority. It says He's going to stand up for Israel. When is He going to do that? Go to Revelation 12. He's going to stand up. He is appointed to help the nation Israel. The other nations have fallen angels behind them. But Michael stands for Israel. And let's just go ahead and read this chapter. There's only 17 verses, but this takes place in the future. And because a lot of people, when they hit Revelation 12, they want to make a lot of it past history. It's not. It's all future prophecy. "There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars." Now, we already saw this back on September 23rd in the constellation, so we know. I'm just kidding. What a bunch of nonsense. Don't even get me started on that again. Okay? "And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven." Of course, the woman's Israel. The man child, I believe, is going to be the 144,000. The woman represents a nation, so it makes sense. The man child would represent a group. And I believe, and I don't have time to stop and prove why I believe this, but I believe it's the 144,000. Anyway, she being with child, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered, there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon. We know who that is. That's Satan. Having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and they cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for devoured child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations. Let me just stop real quick and say, some people say that proves it's talking about Jesus Christ. I'm not saying there's not an application, because there's a connection between history and prophecy. But saying it's going to rule all nations does not prove it's Jesus Christ, because in Revelation chapter 2, verse number 27, it says about those who overcome and keep his works to the end of the tribulation, he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He said, I'm going to give you power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Talking about the overcomers. Talking about the 144,000 are definitely overcomers. All right? To rule all nations with a rod of iron, her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And Christ wasn't raptured. He ascended. There's a difference. The 144,000 will be raptured in the middle of the 70th week. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her. So after the 144,000 are raptured in the midst of that week, we have now 3.5 years left. The woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. 1,260 days. That's the last 3.5 years. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. They have seats of authority up there, but they're going to be cast out. That's where the body of Christ will take their place as far as ruling in the heavenly places. And it says, they prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, this is whenever, in the midst of the week, where that man of sin becomes the son of perdition. And it happens in relation to Satan being cast out, because Satan fills the man of sin. Okay? And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength from the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So everything now, there's only 3.5 years left. Everything's headed toward the second coming in the kingdom. And they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They love not their lives unto death. They'd be martyrs. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Again, 3.5 years. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And the woman, and to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she should fly, she might fly into the wilderness. So God's going to bring Israel back in the wilderness again, just like he did in the past. And going to make a new covenant with her. He's going to feed her with manna, all of this. Just like he took her out in the wilderness, made an old covenant. He's going to take her out in the wilderness, and at the second coming, he's going to make that new covenant. It says, notice what it says. Endure a place where she's nourished for a time and times and a half a time. We're going to see that in Daniel. That's 3.5 years. Time is 1, times is 2, half is half. That's 3.5. And we know it's years. Okay, because he just said 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. From the face of the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. You come to chapter 13 and you see the Antichrist and the false prophet and the mark of the beast, all of that. Okay, so that gets you some bearings where we're at in Daniel 12. Michael, when he casts Satan out and his angels, he is going to then stand for the people. If it's not for, and there's going to be persecution, there's going to be great tribulation, but Michael, God uses him to make sure they don't get annihilated, because Satan, that's his goal. He's going to wipe them off the face of the map, he thinks. And if it's not for Michael, and of course it's God who uses Michael, But if it's not for this protection, they would be destroyed. They need supernatural help. So Israel is going to be delivered out of great tribulation. Talking about the nation. He said, thy people, national salvation, national deliverance. Some are going to be martyred to be resurrected in the kingdom. Others will survive to the end. But as a nation, they're going to be delivered out of great tribulation. The Antichrist is going to be destroyed at the second coming, and Israel will be saved. The last verse, and stay in Revelation because we're fixing to go to another passage there, but the last verse of chapter 11 of Daniel said about the Antichrist, yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. The Lord's going to destroy him, but he's going to save Israel. Now, we know the salvation of Israel as a nation is at the second coming. There's so many verses to prove that. Even Paul taught that plainly in Romans 11, verse 25 to 27. So many verses in prophecy, but it's at the second coming. Go to Revelation 7. Revelation 7. In the first part of Revelation 7, you have the 144,000, 12,000 from 12 tribes, and there's always been this debate who they are. I lean toward them being resurrected kingdom saints from the book of Acts. I can't prove that, but that's what I kind of think. I've had people ask me, somebody apparently is teaching that it's the babies that were killed by Herod. Somebody's teaching that, and which I did figure out who that was, and I'm not going to get into that. But anyway, a lot of people have picked up on that and are making this a doctrine. Now, I don't think that's the case. Somebody asked me recently, well, what about those saints that rose at the resurrection of Christ in Matthew 27? I don't think that either for a number of reasons. I think that you had thousands and thousands and thousands of kingdom saints in Jerusalem. And I think they're going to be resurrected to fulfill their ministry. I think there's proof that the 144,000 are resurrected. They're called the first fruits. And where are you going to get 12,000 from 12 tribes a day? That'd be pretty tough, seeing as most Jews don't even know what tribe they're from, and nor can they prove it. But in the book of Acts, they could. That was before Jerusalem was destroyed, before the temple was destroyed. And in Acts 2, there were representatives from all 12 tribes present. Okay, so, but I'm not dogmatic about that. What I do know is, they're of the 12 tribes of Israel. I do know that. They're not Jehovah's Witnesses. I know that. Okay? I always, when I come across one of those JWs, I always ask them what tribe they're from. You know, and they might be from a tribe, but they're not from the 12 tribes. Revelation chapter 7. And verse 9. Now, what happens is, after the 144,000, a lot of people say, all right, the last part of the chapter is all the saints in the tribulation, including Gentiles. On the surface, what we're about to read, you might say Gentiles. I don't think it's Gentiles. I think it's Israel. Let's read verse 9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Now, as we read down through it, everything that's said about this multitude has to do with prophecy concerning Israel. But what people get off track is it says all nations, but it said of all nations. They are scattered among the nations. Go back to chapter 5. Man, we're only on verse 1, aren't we? I don't know about finishing this. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Who are they? Here they are. And hast made us and our God kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. Israel is destined to be a kingdom of priests reigning on the earth. Okay, so these are Jews that had the 144,000 are preaching the gospel of the kingdom in all the world. There are Jews in all the world scattered among all the nations. This is the great multitude that's saved by the ministry of the 144,000. I know there's going to be Gentiles saved and go into the kingdom. But this book of Revelation is primarily about God's salvation of Israel. But let's read on. He said, Revelation 7, verse 10, and cried unto with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto them, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. And that's the last 3.5 years. And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. If it's not for the blood of Christ, they couldn't be saved. But yet they did have to overcome the beast. They had to endure to the end. That's clear in other passages. Therefore, they are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, that's the salvation of Israel. Now, you got these people today that say this is the rapture of the church. That this great multitude is the church. And see, we're going through great tribulation. It's not the church. The body of Christ is nowhere in the book of Revelation. Okay? The book of Revelation is the consummation of prophecy concerning Israel and the kingdom. We're taken up and out before this ever is fulfilled. Now, notice, and I won't, back in Daniel, I'm not going to be able to run all these references. We've taught on this not long ago, so he said they're going to be delivered. He said, thy people shall be delivered. Does that mean every Jew who's ever lived, like John Hagee thinks? I think John Hagee thinks he's a Jew. I mean, the guy, he fellowships with lost rabbis that reject Christ. And he even goes so far as to say, you don't even have to witness to Jews because they're all going to be saved. That's nonsense. John the Baptist didn't even believe that. He said, God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. He said, he called them vipers, told them they were going to hell. Okay, who's going to be delivered? Everyone that should be found written in the book. That's the book of life. You find it 7 times in the book of Revelation. So not every Jew who's ever lived is going to be delivered, only those written in the book. And there's strong warning given in the book of Revelation about their names being blotted out if they worship the beast. Okay? But if they overcome, they'll wear white, their names will be written, and they will be delivered. Now, Michael, anyway, there's so much I'm looking at the clock, I've got to move on. Michael it's interesting because you only find his name a few times in the Bible. Every time he shows up, there's a resurrection, it seems. I mean, here in Daniel 12, we're fixing to see in verse 2 a resurrection. But even in 1 Thessalonians 4, in our resurrection, he's mentioned, Michael the archangel. And then in Jude, verse 9, he's fighting with Satan over the body of Moses. And what about that? Moses shows up on the Mount of Transfiguration. There's an interesting thing there about Moses and Elijah, which I believe are the two witnesses. But there's a lot of stuff to look into. We don't have time to get into. Verse 2, let's pick it up here. And many of them, Daniel 12, 2, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Well, when you cross-reference with Revelation 20, verse 4 to 6, and you can just write that down. We're not going to turn there for time. We've got to get moving here. There's a 1,000-year gap in this verse. Every time I study the Bible, I keep finding all these gaps, and I understand the gaps by cross-referencing. Okay? And so somebody recently told me that took exception with my teaching on the gap in Genesis. Don't read between the lines. Just believe what's written. Well, my friend, you're not going to study the Bible if you don't learn how to read between the lines. And when I say read between the lines, I'm not talking about making stuff up. It's just understanding not everything. There's things in a passage that are skipped over, and you know about that by other verses. Okay? That's one of the ways you study the Bible. Look, there's not one general resurrection. If you read this verse and that's all you read, you would think that the resurrection of the just and the unjust happens at the same time, but it doesn't. In Revelation 20, there's 1,000 years that separates it. That's clear in Revelation 20. 1,000 years. The first resurrection at the second coming is a prophecy. It's not the first resurrection in point of time because ours precedes the 70th week. Okay? It's the first resurrection as compared to the one that's going to be after the kingdom, the second death, the last resurrection. It's first in, as far as the main resurrection prophecy, but there's even first fruits of those resurrected before that. So there's a lot of resurrections to come according to the Scripture, and there's not one general resurrection. Look in John chapter 5. Jesus said, verse 28, "Marvel not at this." I know I'm kind of going quick, but if you can't keep up with turning, just write them down and check them out later, right? Or listen. It says, "For marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth." Okay, all. All are going to come forth. Everybody's going to be resurrected. And He said, "They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." They that have done good. Okay, well, look, this is the gospel of the kingdom. All right? And there were certain things they had to do to prove their faith. But the point is, He's saying there is these two resurrections, but there's more than that. But it's not simultaneous. There's not one general resurrection like many believe. In Daniel 12, it says, "Many of them shall that sleep." So it would say all if it was at one time. It's not at one time. It said many because many will rise at one point and then many will rise at another point. And by the way, the wicked dead are never said to sleep in the Bible. That's not the term the Bible uses for the wicked dead. Which, again, I don't have time to get into this. Sleep has to do with the body in the ground. Okay, it's going to be resurrected to life. It's going to be woken up to life. The wicked dead are going to be raised just to be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. But it's not the soul that sleeps, it's the body. Okay? So, when He says, "Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life." That's at the second coming. And then later, after the kingdom, some to shame and everlasting contempt. We know there's a 1,000-year gap there by studying Revelation 20, especially. I was reading 1 Corinthians the other day. Listen to this. Don't turn there for time. But here's a gap again. And Paul's talking about resurrection. And he says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23, "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming, then cometh the end." I mean, he just totally skipped over the millennial reign there. Skipped 1,000 years right there. Now, we know, Paul said about our resurrection, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. The moment, twinkling of an eye." So on, 1 Corinthians 15. We're not in the first resurrection of prophecy because we're the mystery hid from the prophets. Our resurrection takes place before the 70th week. The first resurrection of prophecy happens at the end of the 70th week. There's a number of resurrections, okay, and they happen at different times. It's not all going to happen at once. All right, Daniel 12:3, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Well, the wise are that godly remnant who believe and understand the Scriptures of truth. Back in chapter 11, he said in verse 32, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall He corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by the flame, by captivity and by spoil many days." There's going to be this persecution on them, but there are those that understand. They are wise. And the Bible talks about in Revelation 13, here is wisdom. And it gives the number of the beast. They'll be able to identify. They're going to be wise and they're going to instruct. They're going to turn many to righteousness. They're going to shine as stars. You know, Isaiah 60 verse 1 talks about the salvation of Israel. It says, arise, shine, for thy light has come. The shining of that testimony. Jesus in Matthew 13 talked about how they're going to, when they go into the kingdom, they're going to shine as the sun. Matthew 13, 43, he said, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Now, he's talking about that godly remnant in the tribulation that are overcoming the beast and exposing the beast and identifying him and standing against him and warning others and turning others to righteousness, turning people from worshiping to not worship the beast, but to rather trust in the true and living God, they're going to be greatly rewarded. Now, we can make an application and say that you and I today, if we know the wisdom of God, the hidden wisdom, it's called 1 Corinthians 2, the body of Christ and what God's doing today, and we have a faithful ministry in accordance with the will of God today, we're going to be rewarded. We're all going to be glorified as members of the body of Christ, but there is degrees to reward upon based upon faithfulness. Okay? You see that with both Israel and the body of Christ. Verse 4, Daniel 12, 4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. What does he mean by shut up the words and seal the book? Well, skip ahead to verse 8. And I heard, but I understood not. Then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. In other words, you're not going to understand it. They won't understand it fully till the time of the end. So when he says to shut up the words and seal the book, he's saying that there are things that have been spoken that are not going to be fully understood until the time of the end. In Isaiah 29, verse 11, and the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee, and he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. Okay? So they're not going to know it fully. And by the way, I don't understand some things in the book of Daniel, but even Daniel didn't understand things in the book of Daniel. Okay? Now, the book of Revelation adds more insight. There's more details given, and John is told to seal it not. In Revelation 22:10. So there's more given later, but still, where we're at in this present age, we can't fully grasp all these things. Only those godly saints in the tribulation will. So what about running to and fro and knowledge increasing? Look at verse 10. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. I think there's a correspondence here. My opinion is those running to and fro speaks of apostasy. The knowledge increasing speaks of the wisdom of the godly remnant, that they're going to have an increase in knowledge about understanding these things. I don't have time to do it, but if you cross-reference running to and fro, it's never associated with good. And it would seem they're going to be running to and fro looking for answers in all the wrong places, and they're not going to get the answers, but the wise will know. In Matthew 13, Jesus said, I'm teaching these things in parables so that certain ones won't get it and others will. Okay? Those that had rejected him were not going to understand the mysteries of the kingdom, but the wise would. He would reveal it to them. And so he's distinguishing between the wicked and the wise. The knowledge will be increased because 1 John 2:27 says they're going to be anointed to the place no man will have to teach them. And you know, under the new covenant, they're all going to know the Lord. They're going to have supernatural knowledge. And those in the tribulation, the tribulation saints, there's a foretaste of that happening. They're going to have a great increase in knowledge about these prophecies. I do think we could apply this verse to transportation and technology in a sense. I mean, running to and fro, that's what, I mean, you know, you can get on a plane today and go anywhere in the world by the end of the day. That's an amazing thing. You know, before the last 100 years, people pretty much did things the same way for so long. People traveled the same way. When our ancestors came over here to found this country, they came over here on those little boats, you know. And when they came over, they were working the land with the same equipment that men had used for just hundreds of years. But now within the last 100 years, what an explosion, what an exponential increase of knowledge. The transportation, again, it's amazing how we can go anywhere. And then the knowledge increasing in general, what an increase. And a lot of it's for bad. But I do think there's an application here, because you know what? Men used to laugh at the book of Revelation saying that the beast was going to implement this worldwide numbering program. How's he going to do that? How can he command, how can he say that everybody has to take this mark? How's that going to happen? We know how it's going to happen. I mean, we know that's very easy to do today. Everybody's numbered right now. And it's not the mark of the beast, okay? We don't have to deal with that. But the technology is there. The book of Revelation said the whole world's going to see the death of the two witnesses. How would that happen? We know now very easily. It's going to be on CNN, the Clown News Network, or the Clinton News Network, or the Communist News Network, or any. I can give you a bunch if you'd like. No. There are things prophesied that people used to wonder, how's this going to happen? But because of the explosion of knowledge, we know it's very, very much going to happen just like it's written. And always believe the Bible, even if you don't understand how things are going to work out. The Bible is true. I'll finish with this, and we're going to have to pick it up next time, do one more lesson, because we only got down to verse 4. But he says, to the time of the end, to the time of the end. You see that many times in Daniel. The end. That's talking about the end of the great tribulation at the second coming. So we'll stop with that, and then Lord willing, next time we'll finish Daniel with the last. We'll definitely be able to finish it. There's not as much to consider in the last verses 5 to 13. But I gave it the old college try. That's all we can do. We'll get it next time. Father,